Luke 10:17 says this, "The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.'" And I'd like to preach for a while this morning from the subject, freedom in Jesus' name. I guess you could call this part two. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be accurate to teach what you want communicated. Let your word speak loud and clear to each one of us. Help us to be able to understand why it's so important that we keep focused on you, Lord, and all of our freedom comes because of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I want to take a biblical look at what I showed in a video last week. I want to look at what Scripture says. And if you weren't here, I showed a video which I actually had contemplated for several months whether or not I really wanted to show it after I had first viewed it. And it was Tucker Carlson interviewing a Catholic priest who is the designated exorcist for the Indianapolis Archdiocese. And I wasn't able to post it because it's behind the paywall on Fox Nation. As I said, if you want to see it, if you are a veteran, you can get a year free of Fox Nation by signing up as a veteran. If not, and you still wanted to see it, because there's no way to view it otherwise, you can do a 30-day free trial and go on and watch it, and then I guess just not make sure that you don't get automatically signed up after your 30-day free trial. But you could see it that way as well. So I did my first year as a veteran for free, and I've continued now to pay for it because there's a lot of really good content on there that I enjoy. So, but you need to do that to be able to see it. So I want to take a biblical look at today what we saw in the video. But I also want to say this. Why did I show the video? Because I really, as I said, contemplated for 2 months whether or not I wanted to show it, because I didn't want to glorify it. I didn't want to do it just because it was so dramatic to hear this priest talk about some of his experiences. And I certainly don't want us to think that, you know, I know people that do this. It's like every bad little thing that goes on, you know, well, the devil did it, you know. We have to take personal responsibility for our own lives. And so I didn't want people seeing a devil under every stone, you know, that kind of thing. That's not why I did it. I really just wanted to remind us, because I think sometimes we forget, and I certainly do as well, that we live in a physical world, and we tend to deal with the physical world around us, sometimes forgetting that there's a spiritual realm that exists that heavily influences this physical world that we live in. You know, and we're told that, Paul tells us in Ephesians, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and demons and you know, all these kind of things. They're real. They really do have an effect on us, and it's not always just about the dramatic demon possession type of thing that this priest dealt with, you know, deals with in exorcism. But it's just influencing our way of thinking. This is where a lot of the battle goes on in our lives. Satan wants to put thoughts, discouragement, all kinds of things into our heads and discourage us, deceive us, and all those things. Not only that, in the realm of this our nation, we're seeing a big change in the governance that's taking place. And I really do think that I really do think Satan is at work in that, because he talked about one of the entry points for Satan to come in and have influence over us is when we get so far away from God and not thinking there is a God, but instead focusing totally on ourselves as being our own gods, that is a place of where Satan can come in and influence us. And we see that a very large portion of the people wanting to run this country this nowadays, they absolutely do not believe in a God. They believe that they are their own gods and that they can change the moral order of things and the order of nature and everything else. And because of that, I think that they're open to Satan's influence. So those are things I just want us to, again, not scare anybody, not make you think the devil's, you know, doing every little bad thing that goes on, but just to be aware that we do live in a world that is spiritual, even more so than it is physical, and we need to be reminded of that. So I want to take a look, and I'm going to kind of go through this pretty quickly. I tried to go through it quickly because I want to leave a little bit of time if anybody had any questions about what they saw last week, what they heard. And as I said, and maybe it's more because just of where we lived in Southern California, we saw and encountered some of these things in our time there. Judy's grandfather was and grandmother were missionaries in Brazil for decades, and there was a lot of spiritualism, you know, witchcraft, voodoo, all that kind of stuff that they would encounter, and it was not uncommon at all for them to come into contact with people who had demonic possession and stuff because of where they were at. So this is a real thing. Again, I don't want you to be scared of it. I don't want you to get overly paranoid of it, but it's a real thing, and we've encountered it, and other people we know have encountered it. And so let's take a look at it. I'm going to look first at Matthew 8, and this is a little bit of a longer passage, but I'm going to, like I said, try to get through it very quickly. Matthew 8, verse 28 through verse 34. And it says this: when he arrived on the other side, and is speaking he, being Jesus, on the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that one could not pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. The first thing I want to tie into this from what we saw last week is that we see that these demonic men were violent. And we saw that in the video last week with the priest discussing some of his character, the things that he had seen, where there is violence on the person who has this demonic oppression or possession, that there is violence associated with them. And it says that these men who were demon-possessed were so violent that nobody would cross, you know, pass by there, get anywhere close to them because of their violence. That is a feature of the demonic. So whenever you see people that are excessively violent, they may not be demon-possessed, but I think that there's something going on there where they certainly are being demonically influenced or influenced by Satan, because that is a characteristic, just like we heard Father Lampert share about last week, that there is violence. The other thing that we also see is, though, even while they're violent and people were scared of them and didn't want to go anywhere near them, they were scared of, if you will use the word scared, they were scared of Jesus. That's the good news, amen? And that they were scared and said, you know, "Son of Man, what have you come to do us? Are you here to torture us before our time?" They know. That's the thing you got to remember. When you're dealing with and when you're praying, and the demonic knows that it's already defeated. Because they said, "Have you come to torture us before our time?" They know what's coming. They know that they've been defeated. They know that Jesus has won this fight already. And so they're worried about that. They know there's a day coming when they indeed will be cast into that lake of fire. But they want to say, "Did you come to torture us even before our time?" So they know who Jesus is. They are scared, if you will, scared, if that's the proper term. They know that they are defeated by him. And that's the same way that we defeat Satan. In any of these kind of circumstances, I want to make this very clear. And as I said, we've dealt with this a little bit. Certainly nothing to the level that Father Lampert has, but we have had the opportunity to pray with people who have been demon possessed, and they do manifest in a lot of the ways that I've seen that he talked about. The thing that you have to know, if you ever encounter this, you have to know this: it has nothing to do with you. And I was really happy to hear him make this point. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus. Period. If you don't have that understanding that it doesn't matter about you, it's all about Jesus, and Jesus is the one that's going to do this, and everything is Jesus, 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 then just stay away from it, okay? Just stay away from it, because that's an opening. If you don't have that confidence, if you think you bring anything to this, then you're in trouble, because you don't. And the other thing,
The scary thing is they know you too, and they know what's in your life. And so you don't want them, you don't want them using your life against you, okay? You want nothing but Jesus in this. But Jesus can defeat them. They're scared of Jesus. They know that he's already fought the battle and that they have won. And the other thing is let's just face it, it's scary, it's freaky, it's frightening, it's bizarre. And the people, so much so, it says, what did it say about the people? It said that they wanted him to leave. Even though Jesus exercised this great power of deliverance over these two demon-possessed men, it's so, I don't know, strange, scary, intimidating, whatever you want to say, they ask him to leave. Think about that. Now think about, they would have rather just left things alone. These people of this area knew these demon-possessed men were there. They avoided them. But the power of God confronting the demonic was so frightening to them, they would have rather just left the demon-possessed men there, leave them alone, leave them as they are, we'll stay away from them, than to have Jesus deliver them. Hello? There's something not right about that, don't you think? What about those two men that needed deliverance? I guess my point in that is, how many times in life do we just put up with things that we know are not as they should be because it's easier than taking on the hard challenge of confronting it? That might be the most important point I make here this morning, all right? That is not the right way to go about things. Just because it's difficult, just because it's intimidating, just because we don't understand it. And that's the biggest thing. They didn't understand the power of God and what was taking place here. They'd rather just not even deal with it. That is not the way that we deal with problems in life. Again, I'm just highlighting some things here I see about the demonic in Scripture and comparing it to what we saw last Sunday in the video. So I want to go on. Matthew 9, verses 34 through 36. It says, but the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he being Jesus, drives out demons. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So here we see the people will be diminished because they are intimidated by people who are strong and confident in Jesus. And if they are not, the Pharisees were intimidated by Jesus. They said, rather than understanding what Jesus was doing, what did they say? They said, oh, he cast out Satan by the power of Satan. He cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Why? Because Jesus had something they didn't have. He had power. He had the power of God. He had confidence to do it. They didn't have those things, but yet they were the spiritual leaders. So that was very intimidating to them. So what did they do? They started accusing him of something rather than understanding it, rather than being glad for it. That's a warning to us. Don't be that way about things that we don't understand. If somebody, God is using somebody in a way that we don't understand, but as we see it producing good, we should be glad for that. Not intimidated by it. Not don't feel diminished in and of ourselves. These guys were the spiritual leaders of the people, and they did not understand what Jesus was doing. And so their reaction to it was to accuse him of something so that people would look down on him, look negatively at him. That's not the way that we want to deal with it. We're helpless against the demonic in and of ourselves, but the good news is, it says, I love it, it says, Jesus saw these people who were sick, you know, had disease, and they had, I want to make sure I get it right, preaching, healing every disease and sickness. It says he saw the crowd. It says that he had compassion on them. When we have attacks, whether it be physical, spiritual, mental, whatever, God wants to help us. Jesus has compassion on us. And the approach that we should take when we're praying for somebody is that it's done in the compassion of Jesus Christ. He does not want to see people under demonic influence, which is where it starts here, with the Pharisees saying he cast out demons by Beelzebub, okay, or sick or ill or any of these things. He doesn't want to see that. He has compassion on us. When we pray for people, it should be under the understanding that we are praying for them with the compassion of Christ. He has compassion on them. We should have compassion on them. Why is he going to heal? Why is he going to heal you? Because he has compassion on you. He doesn't want to see you sick. He doesn't want to see you bothered in any way, but that Jesus has compassion. Matthew 10, 7 and 8 says, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy." And then it stops right there, right? What's it say next? Drive out demons. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Why do we never talk about... When I just put in the word demons in my search on my Bible software, there are a lot of references to the demonic in the Bible. Why do we never talk about it? It's weird, right? It's weird. It's strange. We live in a physical... We've been hearing nothing but the last couple of years about believe the science, believe the science. You know, we believe in this. We have this scientific world and all this, you know, understanding of the physical world, all this. It's hard for us to believe in the spiritual realm. It seems so strange to us. But if you're a Christian, I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, it's one of the things I really appreciate. Tucker Carlson, to my knowledge, is not any kind of born-again Christian. But I love the fact that he said, in the beginning of the interview with the priest, is like, look, the Bible deals with it. It's in the Bible, right? And he said, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, then you should believe it. And I totally agree with it. If you're going to say, I'm a Christian, I believe the Bible is God's word, then what it says in that book, then you believe it. It's not optional. And there are lots and lots of passages dealing with the demonic in Scripture. And yet we don't ever talk about it because it is weird. It is strange. It's hard for us to understand. I got news for all of us. Just because we don't understand something doesn't mean it's not real or doesn't mean it's not true. I mean, nobody in here has perfect understanding, right? Nobody here knows everything. Trust me, if you think you do, a bunch of us here will disavow you of that notion. You don't. But because we don't understand it, because it's weird, because it's strange, we don't want to deal with it. But here it clearly says, when he sent them out, he gave them authority to preach the message of the good news and to heal people, but also to what? Cast out demons. There's a lot more. And here was really my point. Again, my point was not to make you see a devil under every rock. That's not my point. But one of the things I do is there is a lot more demonic influence in the world than we realize. In fact, I would say in Jesus' time, it was everywhere. I mean, when he walked around and demons and stuff reacted to him and people brought people to him for deliverance, it's throughout the Gospels. It's pretty prominent. And to this day, I would say there's a lot more demonic influence in this world than we realize. It's not that you need to be scared of it. You don't need to be hyper-paranoid of it, but you need to be aware of it. We need to be aware of it. But the good news in this, he says, when he sends them out to preach the message, what's the message? The kingdom of heaven is near. Just as there is demonic activity in the world, also the kingdom of heaven in this world is very near to us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's presence here. We have his power. We have his word. We have the truth that he's given us that we can live our lives by. All those things are near to us. They're available to us. But also we need to understand that a part of that and using that is to stand up against the demonic influence in the world. Matthew 12, starting in verse 22. Then they brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons."
Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. And how then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So, we see the first thing in this passage is that demonic possession is capable of causing physical illness. Because they brought this person who was blind and mute, but demon possession was causing the blindness and the muteness, right? So, he cast out the demon, and then the person could what? Could see and speak. So now what I don't want you to think is that every illness is caused by demonic possession, okay? But it certainly is a feature of it. I mean, we have illness in this world because we live in a fallen world. We have illness in this world because our bodies are no longer perfect, living forever, but since sin came into the world, our bodies, how many of you can say amen? They degrade over time. That's just the nature of the world that we live in. So I don't want to set up that kind of idea. But at the same time, a feature of the demonic. Anybody that has a high level of demonic possession is going to have issues. And this is one of the reasons why Father Lampert said that people came and they want deliverance because of the problems it causes in their lives, not only relational and those kinds of things, and emotional, but also physical. So we see that as an aspect, again, confirming what we read about or what we saw last week in the video. And it's only by the authority of Jesus that the demonic is driven out. Because he says, I drive out demons, how? By the Spirit of God. There is no way, you know, sometimes you see things portraying that when there are spiritual things going on and somebody wants ridded of, he talked about it as spiritual presence in an area. I've had people who've wanted me to come and pray through their home before because they believe that there's demonic activity and stuff. There's no spell or incantation or anything like that that you do. It's only by the power of Jesus, period. Okay, so whatever, ideas that people have, like you got to have some kind of, incantation or something, or some kind of ceremony or something, set up. How are you going to defeat? I mean, a lot of times you see these things discussed like in the occult realm. The occult is demonic. How are you going to defeat a demon by practicing occult practices, which are demonic? Only by the power of Jesus. Mark 1, 32 through 34 says, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole time. Is it just me, or does it sound like demon possession at this time is almost as common as sickness? Every time that we see them bringing sick people to Jesus, they bring the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. I bring this up just to simply say there's more of a demonic influence in this world than what we believe, all right? Luke 4, verses 40 and 41. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. I reference this because in the video we heard Father Lampert talk about what it was like when demons left. Do you remember what he said? They would shriek, scream. What it doesn't mention that he mentioned was the glow of the presence of God. But it says what in this? How did they leave? Verse 41, moreover, demons came out of many people doing what? Shouting. That shout, that scream that he talked about. Again, I'm using these verses to confirm what we saw. I don't know about you, but one of the things I really appreciated about watching and listening to Father Lampert is that he just seemed really down-to-earth, genuine, straightforward. He wasn't some crazy, kooky guy that you would think was, you know, oh, there's devils everywhere. It was just so matter-of-fact. And, I mean, it was like very pleasant, very, you know, I don't know. That's what I appreciate. It's like, okay, at least this guy, I can show this video. He doesn't sound like some nut job talking about it, right? I mean, he talked about casting out a devil and then going to Dairy Queen. Because he was hot and tired, right? That seems pretty like most of us, right? I mean, just matter of fact about it. I really appreciate that about him. So I'm just attempting again to show Scripture says the same thing that he says. His explanations of what's going on is backed up in many ways by what we see in Scripture. And when he talks about how he says there's always this shout, this scream or whatever, we read the same thing right here, that Jesus cast out demons, came out of many people, and they shouted when it happened. Let's look at a couple references to the demonic in the Old Testament. Exodus 22:18. And this is what we see in the Old Testament is God is really hard on anything that is demonic, if you will. I start here because he says it very simply. Do not allow a sorcerer to live. Yikes. In the Old Testament, if you're going to practice sorcery, the penalty for that was death. God says, this is not something we do. This is not okay in any way. In fact, it's so serious. If you're going to mess with this stuff, then you're going to probably end up dead. Leviticus 20:27 says, a man or woman who is a medium or spiritist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them. Their blood is on their own heads. He's saying they brought this on themselves. If they're going to delve in the spiritual realm of Satan, then if they die, that's on them if they get put to death. I mean, my point in pointing is this is that God is very serious about how bad this is. You don't mess with it. You can't allow it to be a part of your life or be out there doing its thing in any way. Deuteronomy 18:9-11 says, when you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughters in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Any of these kind of practices, he says, don't let it stand. Do you ever see you see the TV ads, you know, the psychic hotlines and all this kind of stuff? That's one of the things that this kind of stuff is talking about, a medium. And it's unfortunate. I hear people sometimes who believe that they're a Christian who talk about they go to somebody who is a medium because they want to talk to somebody in their family who has passed away. That is not okay, people. That is not God, and it's not godly. We don't do that. I mean, if you are a Christian, you believe God's word, that's what God's word says. And yet I've heard way too many Christians talking about it, and now I'm probably going to get myself in some deep water here. A lot of Christians talk more about interacting with angels than they do Jesus. No. Okay? No. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I preached on this a couple years ago.
Jesus is it. There's nowhere in the Spirit. We have Holy Spirit who is God. We have Jesus who is God. We have God the Father. That's it. Anything else, you are in this realm of the spiritual realm of mediums and spiritists and all this kind of stuff, and that is not okay. What can an angel do for you? And people who they have their angels. I have my angel. I'm not saying there are not guardian angels around us. That's not what I'm saying. But what is an angel going to do for you that Jesus can't do? Don't you always want to go to the person that has the most power and the most influence? If you're delving in that realm, there's something that you're missing and that you're not understanding. That's not how this works. That's not okay. Divination, sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, casts spells. Maybe there's a few spells you'd like cast on a few people. I don't know. But that is not okay. The demonic can take many different forms. And that's what we see in this. Is it doesn't have to just be somebody who obviously is manifesting demon possession. There's a lot of different forms that it can take, and they're listed here. Going on, 1 Chronicles 10, verse 13, it says, Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance, and did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. We're told here that Saul, the first king of Israel, was put to death. Why? Because rather than consulting God, he consulted a medium. And I don't mean a medium as in size-wise, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. Go for the large. Extra large. His sons were too, yes. It was a messed up thing. I mean, just think about that. God made him the first king in Israel, and yet here he is, rather than turning to God, he's turning to me. And it cost him his life. These are serious things. So, why are we to be on the lookout and to test spirits, because we're told to test spirits. 1 John 4:1 says, Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Again, we're told that there is more of a spiritual activity in this world of false prophets, and false prophets come from the demonic, okay? Says there are many that have gone out into the world. And yet, again, I'm not saying this to be critical of anybody. I'm saying this to be a reminder to us that there is, the devil is at work in this world more than we realize. And Scripture tells us that we should always be aware of this and test spirits. It's like when you have these people that are into the angels and stuff like that, they need to test those spirits that they're dealing with, because that is not of God. And we're told that we should test the spirits. Because why? Because many false prophets, which is from the demonic, have gone out into the world. We need to be aware that there is demonic influence in the world all around us. It doesn't mean we have to be fall prey to it. It doesn't mean we have to let it affect us, control us, or any of those kind of things. But we need to know it's there. And then we need to be wise enough to be able to tell what's God and what's not. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. It says that Satan and the powers, you know, that he has and his demonic minions are going to be able to perform or are performing counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. We're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. You have to know, but are they real or are they counterfeit? Think about that. If Satan can do things that mimic God, then we need to be able to be discerning enough in our spirit to be able to test those spirits. Is this really God or is it not? So we're told we need to test the spirits. Why do we need to test the spirits? Because they'll be able to do counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. It's going to be, it is a challenge. We need to be aware of this. And I'll kind of end, wrap this up with this. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, And no wonder, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So therefore, we need to do what? If he's masquerading, he's trying to hide his identity. He's trying to hide what the power that's behind what's going on. So we need to do what? Test the spirits. Recognize what's a counterfeit miracle, sign, or wonder. Because he is masquerading. He is trying to deceive us and keep from us what he's really up to in this world. Therefore, again, I didn't do any of this the last 2 weeks to make anybody scared or worried, you know, or terrified or any of those things. But it is to make us aware that there really is a devil, he really is operating in the world, and we really need to be aware of it. Amen? Now, the good news in all this, and I'll close where I started with this, and then I'm going to talk a little bit. Luke 10:17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. That's the good news. So I can talk about all of this kind of stuff, but it all ends up, the good news is what? We don't have to worry about it, because in his name, those demons are under, if you will, are, because of him, authority. They submitted to, he says, they submit to us in your name. Remember, it's always about Jesus, but if we have Jesus, then we don't have to be scared of about it. We don't have to be worried about it. Now, I don't know, I made a few notes of all the things that he talked about. Maybe I wanted to give you a chance. I wanted to get through this with a little bit of time to give anybody to ask questions or make comments, because I know that it's such an unusual subject that from the video that we saw last week, and I know some of you haven't seen it, but again, I've seen people. I've not seen the green snake eyes, and I've not seen anybody levitate. But everything else that he mentioned, I've seen. And I don't use holy water because I'm not Catholic. But to be honest with you, if I ever encounter it again, I'm thinking about it. What I have found is that if you want to find out if this person's really demonically possessed, you plead the blood of Jesus. They despise the blood of Jesus because they know it's the blood of Jesus that defeats them. That's how they're defeated. So whenever you mention the blood of Jesus, if there's a devil in there, he's probably going to manifest. And that you'll see that. I've seen him, the foaming at the mouth, the rolling of the eyes, the screaming, the voice, you know, the strength, all of those kinds of things. And it will either terrify you, or it does a lot of people. And to me, it shouldn't be terrifying. I mean, I got Jesus. You can't do anything. You're already defeated. You're already defeated. It's already a done deal. It's already decided. As long as you know that, you're okay. Do you have anything you want to, share? Hey, but I'm okay. Doug? Okay. Yes. My understanding, and we have some former Catholics here who used to teach, yes. My understanding has always been, the thing that you run into the Catholic Church is because, like any denomination, the longer you've been around, the more you get little segments of it that have their own kind of little different beliefs. But as a foundation, yes, the Catholic Church believes the same principles of salvation that we believe, that Jesus is the Son of God. He's God manifest in this world, born of the Virgin Mary, who, you know, died on the cross for our sins, was dead, buried, and raised on the third day so that we have new life. They believe that foundational gospel message. Right. Right. I was probably thinking along the same lines of what you're describing. As I saw this, I had to kind of come to realize that it's not even about the necessary, some of these different beliefs of the Catholic Church that we wouldn't believe in. And even like holy water, we know that water is water that has just been blessed. It's just water that a priest has blessed, right? So there's nothing special about that water other than what they think, their faith.
Like our prayer shawls.
Yeah, our prayer shawls. It's no different than our prayer shawls, or for that matter, this anointing oil. But because we are doing it in keeping with Scripture when we're told, anoint with oil. Okay, so we do it. We're doing it in faith. We're doing it because God's Word says to. That's where the power comes from. It's not in the various, and yeah, I have issues with some of the Catholic Church's belief. There's no doubt about it. But it comes through their faith, and they're willing to practice it and stand on it and believe it. So does that make sense? But the one thing is that you'll find about the Catholic Church, and I've seen Catholics who are having Mass in Latin, and in the same church, they also have services that are Pentecostal, and they're pursuing the gifts of the Spirit. There's all kinds of, you know, so it's different. So, but I actually have to say, I thought about the whole, maybe I need some water that I bless, and I mean, again, it's in the faith and the blessing, and just thought it was interesting. So. But it's just water. It's just water that hasn't been blessed.
But at that point, I mean, he's a priest, and realistically, if he wanted it to be holy water, it would be. I mean, I think it's more the intent than anything else. He intentionally tried to trick
right.
The demon, so it worked.
I thought it was so interesting that he often spoke about. He talked about the church, the church, the church, the church, rather than him or a priest, or it was like. You know, he always referenced back to the church because in the context that this is the body of Christ, this is who Jesus intended us as the body of Christ to be, and our authority flows from the fact that he was a part of the body of Christ. So the authority is not his. The authority comes from the church that is the body of Christ. And I just thought that was interesting. Stand up and talk to people loud so they can hear.
So when we first were there, and I was a lot of students. The area there on the Central Coast, very much, there was a lot of demonic activity going on. Some of you might, because we've shared this before, but there was a girl in our town that we moved to that shortly before we moved there, I mean, literally, it was like a satanic ritual killing, you know, and it was, I mean, there was a lot of just darkness.
There was a lot of occults and coven practices going on in the hills all around where we lived.
And so in my high school that I taught at, there was some of that as well. And, you know, talking about that idea of discernment, I had students, I had one particular student who would bring this book of witchcraft into my room, like with him into my math class every day, and he'd have it there. And I never said anything about it. One time I was just walking around checking their math, you know, seeing what they were doing, and this kid turned around and he goes, "I know what you're doing." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "I know what you do. You walk around and lay hands on students and pray for us." And I had never laid hands on him, but he discerned, and it was through it.
Because
was
you did pray for him.
I did pray for him when I would walk by him every day, but I never laid hands on him, but he knew that. I mean, so there was that discernment that he recognized the power of God. I mean, he could recognize that. And then I had another student who was very much into, I mean, he'd wear this black trench coat to school, had all this jewelry on him, like satanic type stuff, you know, And I know in a way it was like to try and get a reaction from me, and I didn't say anything to him. I just let him. And one day at the end of the day, he was in my last period of the day, and so he just stayed at the end of class. And so I thought, okay, opportunity. So I just started talking to him, and I said, "So do you worship Satan?" And his answer was, "Oh, I worship a lot of gods." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So then I said, "What about the God of the Bible?" And I thought I'd borrow that from Paul. I said, what about the God of the Bible? And so he started talking about, you know, the God of, because he learned about it in school, Abraham, you know, in 10th grade, they would study it as literature. He goes, oh, you mean the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I'm like, yeah, what about that God? Do you you don't want to leave one out? Do you worship him? And he said, well, I really don't know that much about him. I'm going to have to learn more about him. And then I said, and what about Jesus Christ? And I'm not kidding you, as soon as I mentioned Jesus' name, he got so nervous. He started packing up his stuff. He goes, I got to go. And he could not. So he could talk about God I could talk about God all I wanted. But as soon as I mentioned the name of Jesus, he couldn't stay in the same room with me. And so that power that's in the name of Jesus.
One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord.
There is power. And that's, you know, that's one of the ways you can really kind of tell. If a person is, you know, just dabbling or just, you know, but he definitely was possessed and he couldn't stand the name of Jesus. And so what ended up happening, those people, I mean, I know he ended up leaving out of the school and there was a change. There was a change in the environment. We were there for 10 years and you could really sense a change in the environment. I'm going to share one more story. I know it involves Cade, but this just kind of goes to talk about the darkness that was there. And this was probably about, this was within the first year, because Cade was only about four. And
when
Cassie
first got
was a
there,
year
there was
old.
A lot of demonic darkness
and,
in the area.
And one morning he told me, he goes, Mommy, there was this bat that came into Cassidy's room, and they didn't have the same room, so I know it was like something he saw. He goes, and it was like a bat, like a man. And he went over to Cassidy's crib and you know, picked her up. But he couldn't, and he was laughing, but he couldn't keep her. He couldn't hold her, so he dropped her, and then he left. And I'm, you know, this is at this, you know, if it hadn't been at a period of time where we were experiencing all this thing in the community, I would have thought, okay, what was he watching? What cartoon was he watching, you know? But because of all the stuff that was going on, and, you know, that was not something he would typically say, I thought, you know, of course what I...
Plus we didn't have TV.
But my first thought was, you know, it was fright. And then my second thought was, he couldn't keep her. He had to drop her. He couldn't keep her because the power of God is greater. And, you know, that was, you know, but... And
but
so,
we had demon people that were demon... Certainly oppressed, if not possessed, who coming into our home and
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, we did. And it was just, you know, it was that time period, you know, that we were seeing all of that happen. And, you know, just, again, not to glorify any of it, but just to for you guys to know, it's real. And, you know, honestly, I haven't seen that, like what we saw there, I hadn't seen anywhere else in my entire life. I mean, but I think it was just because of the things that were taking place that it was just, you know, very prevalent.
People there were open to it. People were making themselves open to it. So there you saw and you felt the influence all through that area because people were practicing it. There was a lot of occult practices going on in that area, so you felt that influence. And yeah, you would feel it. We both have experienced this where at night you're laying in your bed and you can feel that spirit come into our home. And you'd be laying there at night and it was all you could do to just squeak out the name and you're just like, oh, Jesus! But that would drive out the... I mean, it was wild. It was... it's out there. The devil... What's that... What's the song, Cade? You Are the Devil and the Devil. Who sings that? There's a group called the W's, and they sing this song. You are the devil, and the devil is bad. Hey, you are the devil, and the devil is bad. Hey, folks, there is a devil, and he is bad. Okay? It's not complicated. I wanted to just refresh. He goes over points of entrance, infestation, a location, or an object. Okay? And that's what we saw in Napomo was that infestation, location. In that geographic area, because there were people open to it, there was a lot of demonic activity. In the Bible, they call this a principality. A principality is basically a demon who has a region that they operate in, an area that they operate in. Witchcraft, self-destructive behavior, habitual sin. This is the one that I see in people that are influential in the leadership of our nation. They are disconnected from God. So much so, they don't believe there's a God, okay? So they are disconnected, and they've been practicing this so long, I believe a lot of what we see going on that we're now having a fight about in our governmental realm, there's a lot of demonic, I mean, I was going to, and it's not just out in the world, it's coming into the church, folks. We reference this today in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about demonic teaching, okay? Even within the body of Christ, there are now churches that have been historically Christian that are having drag queen shows in the church. A drag queen is some guy dressed up like an over-the-top woman, okay? And this one I saw was in an Episcopal church, a big fat guy, okay? Showing all of his... Anyways, dressed up like a woman, just... parading down the aisle of an Episcopal church and all these kids. And I looked at a number of these that are out there. I wanted to show it to you so you see what I was talking about. I couldn't bring myself to show it to you. And I usually am pretty... I don't pull any punches, all right? I couldn't bring myself to show it to you here this morning. It's so bad. This is going on. This is demonic. Normal people, even if they're not Christian, don't act like this, all right? And it's everywhere. It's not just in our government. It's in our culture. It's coming in. It's in the church. You have plenty of homosexual people in standing and preaching in pulpits and praying to the God of, you know, God's a queer God because he's created all mankind. It's just over the top. I can tell. Oh, yeah. RuPaul's Drag Race is not an automotive fix-up racing show. Yeah, it's out there. It's everywhere. These are the points of entry. When you get, we have people that are out there making policy decisions in this nation he talks about who are disconnected from God. They've lost their moral compass. He said that's an opening for the demonic to come in, and I certainly believe that that's true.
And that's why it's so important, parents and grandparents, what your kids and grandkids are watching, not just on TV. Actually, it's not TV. They don't watch TV anymore. It's all the stuff on their phones, TikTok videos, all the different things that they're watching.
Yeah, they are bombarded by it. I mean, we live in a very, very anti-God culture that is called nihilism. There is no God. It's just this material world is all that there is. That is, if kids are on social media, that is going to be the dominant message that they're hearing. It's a nihilistic message. There's just this physical world and there's nothing else. And yeah, that's going to... There's nothing wrong with giving your kid a flip phone so that you can get a hold of them and they can't access the internet. In fact, I would say this. If your kid has access to the internet before they're in their mid to late teens on a phone, no. No. There's no reason. They need to access the internet. They can do it for school. They can do it at home in front of you on a computer. So the devil's in the internet. There's a lot of good stuff in the internet too, but there's a lot of bad stuff. The problem is outside of your control. That's the problem. So I hope, again, my intent last week was not to show that video for shock value. And that's why I delayed so long in showing it. But I finally I watched it again later, like I said recently, and said, man, that's just good stuff that people need to hear and be aware of. And so that's really all I want to do is make us aware. And I'm going to close with, we serve a good and loving God who is truth and light and holiness and goodness. That's the God that we serve. And that's the God that we should want everybody to know. Why would we want people to know something dark and ugly and something different than that? And the good news is that in Jesus, we have that. We have access to that. And we have the victory over that. And someday, when this world concludes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so, as I always say, do that while it's still an option, because one day it will no longer be an option. And if you do it, you're going to do it. Everybody's going to do it. But if you do it when it's no longer an option, that's not good. That means you've lost your chance. We do it while we still have free will. Amen. And even the demons submit to us in Jesus' name. Amen.